On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to... All right, he's already looking to interrupt. I couldn't get through three fucking words. How you doing, man?
Can I speak now?
Please.
Pick it up! Son of a bitch! Every fucking week, just pick it up.
Welcome to Tall Can Sports with Matt over here.
And Matt's already like a fucking Leaf fan. Yeah. Team's out of the playoffs for a week already.
I'm indignant. Sends up 2-0.
Whoop, whoop.
I'm supposed to be
suck it, Habs
upset,
fans.
But I picked them in 7, and it's just weird. Yeah. It's weird, man. How's it going? I pretend to give a shit about your life.
I'm not. I don't know if I could be better.
Wow. Wow.
I have a nice
hat.
I have a nice vanilla chapstick.
All right. Would you like to start on the NHL playoffs or the draft lottery?
Man, the draft lottery. Fucking suck it, Canucks fans.
Hilarious. We knew at like 13 that there was a good...
Fingers in the air.
So here's the thing. As the three teams who won the lottery were Dallas... Because they do it 3 times. They do it the first time to
That's
see
right.
who wins, then the second. So what we find out as we're counting down is that there's a team who's won it. And it's I think Dallas was the first one that we saw, like in their spot.
Yep.
Someone else. So we know they've moved into the top three. And then it counts down a little more, and we see that New Jersey has gotten into the top three. And we move down and find out Philadelphia has gotten into so already the bottom three teams are out, cannot draft. And I'm already howling at the Canucks because, you know, fuck you.
Well, and Colorado.
And Colorado, who's had a historically bad season.
And you know what?
22 wins or something terrible.
You Canucks folks, and I'm sorry, I'm focusing on you. I'm not sorry at all. Oh, we're in a rebuild. When did you decide you were in a rebuild?
Yeah, as long as you're still holding on to Ryan Miller and the Sedins, and I think Miller's actually a free agent, but.
And you just threw a boatload of money at.
Erickson. Yeah.
I was going to say generic Swede.
Right. You are not.
You are not in a rebuild. You need to unload those salaries.
Yes.
Don't give me your bullshit. We're in a rebuild.
Right. But it's hilarious to watch you get screwed. Don't get me wrong. So here's the interesting thing. It ends up being New Jersey 1, who I, you know, fuck, whatever. Philadelphia 2, Dallas 3. The interesting thing.
Well, New Jersey went on a huge run late. Like they were pushing like nobody's business.
Yeah. None of those teams are terrible.
No.
They're all about to get a good boost, right? Nolan Patrick, Mikko Heischer, I believe it's pronounced. And then there's a couple of guys up for debate at number 3.
Yeah, Nolan Patrick, Rasmussen, I think.
Yeah, everything I read seems to think he'll be down around 5 or 6.
Well, but Nolan Patrick, the same thing, right? How many games did he play, right? He's missed a pile.
Well, there's a chance you could... I think they're going to take Patrick just because they have Stahl already, or Stahl, Taylor Hall already. We're talking about New Jersey. And there's some talk.
This is house money for New Jersey.
Kovalchuk might be on his way back. All of a sudden,
you
may have just drafted a first line.
Right? Okay, like, no, Kovalchuk's not coming back. He's coming back. He's not playing for New Jersey.
Well, then he's stuck.
No. New Jersey will trade him. And the question is, what is he worth in today's market? Not what do you think he's in terms of Radulov. They're going to flip him for what?
Okay, but I guess my understanding is the only way that New Jersey.
Second round pick?
Yeah. Interesting.
That's what I'm talking about.
But that's a different discussion, though, to me. Because.
Or do you think that the
rest
changing,
of the league has to sign off on that?
No, well, he can sign with New Jersey and trade, I think, is what we're looking at.
There's some kind of complication that involves.
He can't become a free agency.
Right, unless all 30 teams agree.
If he unretires and becomes a free agent, he's got to be all 29 other teams, 30 now, including Vegas, I imagine.
Yeah.
We'll have to waive that.
So, and this is not where I wanted to go, but it is interesting. Where do you think, if you had the choice tomorrow on the Senators, do you want Kovalchuk or Radulov?
I want Radulov.
Yeah, I think I do too, but I can't imagine that 3 years ago.
Because as soon as I looked at it, right, I looked at his last 4 years in the KHL.
Yeah.
He hasn't scored above 20 goals in the KHL.
But do you think there's a certain amount of, fuck it, just riding it out. I got all this fat.
He's not coming back in to be a 45 goal scorer.
No, he's not.
I'll tell you that right now.
Well, do you remember how many Radulov got? It wouldn't be much more than 20, would it?
20, but Radulov played a way better two-way game than me. And he assisted and he was clutch and he was hard down low.
So if
like,
I had
me,
asked,
Radulov was all the things that you go, wow, look at that fucking guy.
So if I had asked you though, let's say October 1st, 2016, which one do you want?
Without a doubt, I'm taking Kovalchuk.
Me too. So it's interesting, but 1 year back and that's probably what Kovalchuk's looking at having to do.
Well,
I think he's also a little older.
Hey, October 1st, 2016, what are your thoughts on Radulov?
Oh, I said he'd be a terrible bust and at the Habs for wasting all their fucking
money.
Okay,
no. I thought he would be a great signing. I didn't.
I
know, but I think if you go back, I think that's what I said. But what were you thinking about his days in Nashville? What do you remember?
Well, exactly.
The Kostitsyns and Radulov.
Going out drinking before a playoff game and twice abandoning
things.
That team and making Shea Weber look bad for vouching for bringing him back in, all those sorts of things.
And that's what they said, right? Shea Weber said to the Montreal staff, hey, this guy, gold, bring him back. He was again vouching for him in Montreal. And man. But look at him now.
Yeah, no, it turned out.
And I think Radulov was Montreal's best player in the first round.
Yeah, could be. Price is always in that conversation.
Okay. Yeah, right. When you have the best goalie in the world, bam, that happens.
So that's interesting. And what
although
New Jersey could
although
do
Lundqvist
here.
Although first round 949 save percentage says.
Right. Pretty good.
I'm okay too.
Pretty good. So either way, leaving Kovalchuk out of it, you could be looking at a still reasonably young Taylor Hall and Nolan Patrick for.
Well, and them flipping. To me, that's free money.
Taylor Hall, anywhere he goes, man. Money in the draft lottery. We'll get the number one.
Well, that's what he tweeted out, right? Right after he's like, I am a whatever it
lottery
was.
Ball expert.
A
on
lottery
the resume.
Ball expert. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, no, it's interesting that they move up. Same with the Flyers. To me, the Flyers are ahead of the Devils in terms of how good they are.
And Dallas should be drafting a goalie. I don't care where. That's free money again. Find yourself a goalie.
All three of those teams are going to grab a piece, right? And they're not that bad. And so that was huge for, especially to me, Philly and maybe Dallas as well.
Philly is huge. They have huge depth and goal, right, between what they have in the AHL, what they have in NCAA still.
And they're probably going to get to add Mikko Hischier.
And so
that's,
right.
You know, and with already what could have been a playoff team this year, not bad, right?
I think them with Minnesota, maybe Tampa Bay, you throw in terms of prospects coming. Philly was already fairly fat.
Yeah.
Right? And so they've just sort of went, whoop, look at that. Right? A month out, they
had
were
kind
still
of an off year and
they
won
were
the lottery.
I don't think they had an off year. And we talked about that. To me, I don't think their D was good enough. Their goaltending wasn't good enough. And they didn't have enough depth scoring. And that's what happened. Bam.
Well,
they didn't make the playoffs.
We did talk, as you mentioned, on a recent show about, you know, the topic was kind of how many teams have – had one bad year, fallen way down and grabbed someone. And the Flyers were that at one point, grabbed JVR after being kind of a playoff team. Tampa was able to get down after being a conference finalist or something, had a terrible year, got Drouin at number three, right? And it just kind of happens that way sometimes.
And we
right?
touched on that on the listener Q&A
yes,
session,
that's right.
Right?
That's right. That's what it was.
Now, to me, gobsmacked in that same vein of talking, did you see Coach's Corner the other night on CBC?
No.
Where Don Cherry is saying, honestly, fuck, I don't know what, I was like, is this happening? Is this really happening? Is this a bizarro world? He's saying, hey, all you Leaf fans.
Uh-oh.
He's like, I want you to all take a look, all of you who are getting overly excited, and I'm paraphrasing now in my Don-isms, right? But he's like, I want you to look at Colorado under Patrick Waugh.
Oh, Jesus.
Where they had that outstanding season. And then the next season, because everybody was pulling on the same way. Everyone had record seasons.
Yep.
And then they shit the bed the next year. And everyone's like, what the fuck? You're fired. He goes, I want you to look at Calgary with all those guys having record seasons. And then the next year shit the bed. And it cost people their jobs. He goes, I want you to all think about that. If we have any, what do they call that when the second year players don't do so well? What's that called? And he's like, sophomore slump. No, I know, but this is
yeah.
Don
pointing
at Ron. He's like, what do they call that? You know, that sophisticated word that them fucking educated people throw around all the time. What, sophomore?
Oh, right? Two syllables. Like, that's as high as I can.
He's like, I want you guys to be aware that this happens. And all of you people who are saying cup next year, you Leaf fans out there. I'm like, who the fuck? Look at you, Don. Yeah. You're looking, giving the rest of us hope.
Well,
because we're hating it right now.
Right. And I think I've said that it's possible the Leafs could take a step. But the Calgary one's a little different. The Colorado one, the year that they stepped up a few – all the – and I know you and I differ a little bit on how much these things matter. All the advanced statistics said that's going to happen. Everybody shot way above league average in terms of shooting percentage. That's going to come back down. Possession numbers, way too low to be able to be sustainable.
To me, the shooting percentage thing is the biggest thing. Zach Smith last year – 25 goals, his shooting percentage off the charts.
Right. So you know that's coming back to league average.
But he still scored 20 this year.
Yeah.
Right. But his shooting percentage did come down, and that is at 5 extra goals. That's where that comes from. So to me, there was a lot of that
in Colorado. Possession, to me, possession matters, right? And Colorado that year never had the puck, had a huge goaltending thing, got some breaks, and all of a sudden they're in as well. So I'm absolutely willing to entertain the possibility that the Leafs are coming back to earth. I think it's reasonable to assume Marner has a kind of fallback year. I think maybe Nylander could have a fallback year. I don't expect Matthews to really, to have that fallback year. As I said, though, I've said twice now on this network, write it down. Leafs are in the Eastern Conference Final next year. That's my prediction, but I won't be shocked if it is a step back. I didn't see Don say all that. I'm a little surprised. Normally I can count on him being a homer, but interesting to see that he also is calling out for, hey, heads up, this could get bad. You can just go on any of that, and I'll cut the space out.
Okay. Super interesting, right? That's where you would go with that, right? And I get it, right? You're looking at Marner, undersized, Nylander, Euro, not a big body either, right?
Right.
That's what you're looking at as, and that's without saying that Kadri, JVR, and Bozak
all had career years.
And that they're going to continue that progression
Seems
as well.
Seems unlikely, doesn't it?
Well, see, this is what I'm saying. And so, to me, you look at the way the Leafs played, it's fucking scary.
Yeah. Well, so the interesting one to me when I talk about Matthews.
Six guys over 60 points?
Yeah. So when you talk about Matthews to me, what's a sophomore slump? Like he ends up with 40 goals in the regular season. If he scores.
What did he end up with? 35?
Goals?
Yeah.
No, he hit 40.
Wow.
Yeah. So to me, if he falls back and scores 33, I guess you could call that a slump, but I'm okay with that from a 19-year-old, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so,
no.
But I think the other two are. If it's going to happen, to me it comes from and people forget Connor Brown scores 20 goals. He has more even strength goals than Ovechkin, more even strength goals than Hoffman, more even strength goals than Malkin.
Oh, look at you. throwing Hoffman in with Malkin and Ovechkin. Awesome.
There's some names in there that I want to get to, yeah. So, but, you know, there's a lot of guys that had big years, and to assume all of them will just do it again.
And you look
at
Hoffman, and is it ridiculous to go, he's had 80 goals in his last three seasons?
That is ridiculous.
Okay, but I'm just
saying.
That's
what I'm saying, right? Like,
but to me, that's.
Because to me, and obviously you know more than this, and we're going to get into the Sens here a little bit later on, but we're here now, so let's do it. Hoffman, I don't know how long he was there, but he was just one of those names to me that sounded like a Binghamton guy, right? Like your Buddy Robinsons, well, right? Like well, your
because he's undrafted into the OHL, had to go and play in the queue. Ottawa drafted him super late,
right? Right.
He just to me, but all he's ever done is score,
right? But to me, until he did it, there was nothing that said to me, like lots of guys have to go play junior or play AHL, right? And that's
yep.
There was nothing about him, and again, knowing nothing about Ottawa's prospects he, that said he's going to be
and he scored
a big
hugely
scorer.
In, but you know what? So did Corey Locke,
right? Like right. And that's another name that I would throw in, right? Like this is that everyone's got that group, right? Like the Marlies have that group, Binghamton that they're just those are the core guys of your minor league team, and they won't do it at the next level,
right? And so Hoffman comes up, and then he scores 28 goals,
yeah, scores,
and then they go
and scores and scores,
and they're
and
scores. Like, yeah, okay, you know what? We're going to give you a 1 year contract because we don't
do
and,
that again.
And essentially, the club is saying,
do that again,
do that again.
Let's see you do that again.
So he comes back with 27 goals.
Loser, didn't do it again.
And you go, okay. And then they pony up and they give him the deal.
Yeah.
Right? And they're like, okay, now we'll see what happens. When a guy who's never been drafted, you know, into the junior, drafted late, how's he going to feel? How's he going to compete when he's got a little, finally gets a little recognition, a little comfort?
How old would he be?
26, 25.
Okay. So he's got a couple of years on and – this is going to seem like an odd comparison, but on Anthony Mantha in Detroit, right, who's probably only 22.
Yeah, he's got about 6 or 7 years on
I was going to say Mantha might be 22. But that was always the concern about him. And Detroit's long since had this thing where you stay in the minors.
Yeah, but Mantha was a world junior.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying.
Hoffman never.
I know. Let me fucking get there, man.
Okay. Well,
Mantha, the highly touted.
I don't do that well.
The highly touted prospect, the world junior, the first round pick.
Grandson of,
I don't know.
It's either Béliveau or Geoffrion, one of the two of them.
I think it's Geoffrion now that you bring it up.
Right.
I wouldn't have thought of it, but now I have heard that. Yeah. And he has to go and do that Detroit thing where you go and sit in the minors for a bit, even though they're not nearly as good as they were. And he comes up and hasn't been the automatic like Hoffman. Now, as you say, Hoffman's older and whatever. But you wonder, right, when you get to these points where you're nothing but a scoring winger, and you make it sound like, or I'm making it sound like that's nothing. You can always use a scoring winger, but it's guys who can do more than that, and maybe the comparison is Mark Stone, who everyone knows is good defensively and can do his own thing. You have a little more time for that while you figure out the scoring thing, right? But Hoffman comes up
and just does it. If you're going to lead the league in takeaways.
It's not bad, right? So it's, you know, to me.
2 years ago, he beats out Datsuk in takeaways, and people are like, it's fucking. And then he does it again. You're like, okay, maybe.
I guess it's legit.
Dude's a thief.
Yeah. So, anyway, to me, Hoffman is just one of those guys that I didn't see coming, right? That.
Well, he's one of those bloomers that you look at and go, okay, well, you go, the scouts say he's done it at every level he's ever played at. Can he do it now? We're willing to take a flyer on him.
Right.
And he's, you know. To me, are you happy with a 25 goal scorer?
No.
Well, okay, I know, but you and I, like, to me, course, as a guy who's born in the early 70s, you go through the 80s and you're like, 40 goals is the benchmark. If you don't go 40, 50, you know, you're nobody. But now the reality is a 30 goal scorer is a bona fide
superstar.
Sniper.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, to me, Hoffman is.
So. Before we move totally off it, anything else to you on the draft was the lottery was wild. We saw three teams win it.
Well, and to me that's one of those things where you go, everybody who didn't make the playoffs is in that mix.
So you wonder, what happens?
And for all those years, Ottawa just misses, and you go, we get shit. We end up drafting within a spot or two of where we finished, and it's like that 13, 14, 15.
Yeah.
And these D-bags just jumping up and getting the. Now, to me, to be honest with you, this is not a strong draft year.
Right. But how about what happens last year? The Leafs get pushed back to five. Get, I don't know, Jesse Puljujärvi. Well,
Canucks got pushed back to five last year.
Good.
Yeah, no, suck it.
But I just mean in terms of you look at what a diff, and I agree, this isn't the same draft. This isn't the McDavid draft. This isn't the Lion A. Matthews draft. This isn't whatever.
Man, last year was strong.
Yeah. Except for you, Pierre-Luc Dubois. You're in the way.
What are you doing there?
What are you doing?
Well, you know what? Quite Columbus. Often, and Senators fans caution now with your Thomas Chabot. Q guys are always a wild card, right? I don't care what you're doing there.
Yeah.
Now, to me.
But it's just interesting, right?
What tempers the Chabot thing in Ottawa and people
Hold on. We'll get back to Ottawa. I'm talking about this draft, right?
No, we're talking about Pierre-Luc Dubois. You've already pushed yourself down that aisle, so I'm just saying Q guys,
yeah.
Period. Except for Crosby. Fucking guy. Whatever's going on there. Okay, but Drouin, there was a bit of a time where Tampa Bay was saying, what the fuck are you?
What the fuck?
That's it. I'm going all Johnny High voice. Q guys, watch it.
Would it be a bigger deal? And we're not in these markets.
NCAA that, guys, watch it.
Who else got put? Colorado got pushed down. Vancouver got pushed down. And
Vegas.
Vegas. That's a tough fucking drop for
Six.
Vegas.
Six for Vegas, I think.
Yeah. Where you're not, you get a guy who might make an impact.
Yeah, okay, but you know what? Fucking suck at Vegas.
But do you think, like...
The deal is they're getting way more generous. Like, look at what Ottawa had to go through, Tampa Bay had to go
through.
Sure,
no, I agree with
that. All those expansion teams, you go, man, we got handcuffed wickedly. 8 wins.
But don't you agree that when you first heard the expansion draft rules, you went, wow, they're going to get a good fucking team. Or... And now you actually look at it and see how teams are shaping up for it. And you go,
and you read about it and Vegas Hockey Podcast, right?
Yeah.
And all the work that they've done on that.
Yeah.
Right? And you look at it and you go, there is the economics of the whole situation that says we could draft this team.
Yes.
We could take a Dion Phaneuf or a Bobby Ryan or even if the production doesn't meet the name cachet.
You're selling the game.
You're going, hey, huge salaries. Now we're not taking that. We're taking Weidman.
Yeah, yeah. I think that team's going to be able to draft okay goaltending, reasonable defense, and they're going to never score a goal. Like, they're going to be terrible up front. They're allowing teams to cover too many forwards. And as a Leaf fan, like anyone else, you're happy about it. But
to me, if you can build, look at Nashville right from the very beginning with the more generous expansion draft rules.
Yeah.
They built strong D.
Yep.
That's always been the calling card of that team.
Yeah, for sure. Even right. After trading away goaltending, guy after guy.
Seth Jones, Weber, right?
Roman Josi, Ryan Ellis.
No, but I'm talking about the guys they got rid of.
Oh, yeah.
Right. You take any other team that's going to get rid of Seth Jones and Shea Weber.
A calendar year.
Right. And you go, oh, okay, but wait. Oh, you still have.
Yeah.
Josi
and Ellis you're getting Subban back.
Okay, so Josi and Ellis, there's your top pair. Ekholm and Subban are your second pair.
Yeah,
pretty man, good. You got a fucking killer second pair. You watch that game that Subban had the other night.
Yeah.
Oh, he's in your second pair.
You see what Mike Milbury had to say about Subban having a little fun there before one of the games? He called him a clown.
Okay.
The guy who went up and beat a fan with a shoe.
Who hit somebody with a shoe was calling somebody a clown.
You're a clown. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Man. Do you want to know why the game?
Milbury, you're a fucking clown.
Honestly, man. The thing that we have to realize here in Canada is the two biggest voices, like it or not, in hockey in the United States are Mike Milbury and Barry Melrose. Those are the guys who get all the panel time. Those are the guys who get to you wonder why people don't love hockey in the U.S.? Man, time to change the narrative.
Yeah, but how about Milbury? Nobody loves a good mullet like Barry Melrose.
Even in 2017.
And then where do you stand on the whole NBC, the big NBC, whatever it is, their broadcast crew of Doc Emmerich, Ed Olczyk, Pierre Maguire down between the benches?
I honestly don't hate their broadcast team in the arena. I know there's some weird stuff that, backside pressure and weird little things like that. They're trying to make it sound more NFL-ish. It's their studio shows that suck, that are terrible. And the other thing that I kind of like about the NBC broadcast is as soon as the regular season ends, they bring in Gord Miller and Ray Ferraro and Chris Cuthbert. And
well, and even I watched the other night, I watched the Penguins Capitals game, game one, I think.
Yeah.
Which was an NBC, but then they go back for studio coverage. They go back to CBC or Sportsnet, whatever it is. They're
yeah, yeah, yeah. When they're just picking up the feed, right?
That's right. So they're just taking the play by play.
Yeah,
right. And to me, I don't mind it.
The Sportsnet one?
No, the NBC.
The play by play. Are you talking about the studio show or the play by play?
I don't watch the studio show ever.
Okay. Okay.
Right. So, but to me,
yeah, it sucks.
I don't mind Doc Emmerich.
I don't either.
Right, so to me...
I know you don't... Oh, you're actually... I always say that you don't like Pierre, but you're all right with Pierre here.
Well, okay, Pierre to me has morphed into a bunch of things, right? Before his NBC days, and even at the early days of his TSN days.
Yeah.
He was a radio guy, right? He did Montreal, Toronto,
yeah.
Ottawa.
Yeah, it's true.
And he was a radio personality. Like, I remember at the 03 World Juniors, I met him, right, in between, in Halifax.
Well, he would have been doing color by then, wouldn't he?
Oh, he was absolutely doing, yeah, okay. he was doing World Junior
yes,
stuff.
Yes.
He was doing all that. And so I met him in the, there was a mall attached to the Halifax Metro Center.
Right.
And at that time, yeah, you had to empty the arena. I was going to 3 games a day, right, checking out as much junior hockey as I could get. And I ran into him in the Halifax Metro, the mall next to it, and he was just a personable guy, right?
Yeah.
Wanted to talk hockey. He just,
right.
You know, it wasn't a long conversation, but personable, right? He since has got into, as soon as he got further into the TSN thing and he's moved over to now this, he's a name dropper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? And he's a, yeah, I don't want to comment
How's
on
the
that.
Breath?
Yeah, I don't want to comment on that because I see these people all the time. Well, fuck you, man. That's what you do.
Yeah, then you're useless here.
That's right. We are contacting you because you have insight.
Yep.
Hey, if you're not going to give me comment, if you're just going to come with generic shit, Matt and I can do that.
You're looking at it, folks. No, it's true, man. And I don't mind Pierre as a color guy. Now, obviously, I see way less of it now that he's doing the NBC thing And he still does the radio thing in some local markets. As he's still in Ottawa, still in Toronto, he does the radio thing.
Montreal, Vancouver, like he is a...
Right.
Basically. But you're bringing him in for his experience as...
And to me, he's just gotten less and less interesting over the years. Like
because he now has,
yeah.
I had dinner with blank, 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 and I had dinner with so-and-so. I ran into so-and-so after the game.
Yeah, I badly want to tell you I had dinner with this person, but I won't tell you what they said. And whereas if you hadn't told me who you had dinner with, you could still say the people I talked to, the sources I talked to, the whatever.
Right.
At least you could still bring the fucking info, right?
Like, and to me, that's what it is. And you know what? I get it. You were an assistant coach in the league
yeah.
with the shittiest of the shit, which is here in Ottawa. And you work with Scotty Bowman. And you won cups in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, yeah.
Okay, I get it. And
I
then you
didn't
went on
know
to
he
be
was an assistant coach here in Ottawa.
Yeah. Okay, Rick Bowness's 2 assistants
yep.
were...
Yeah, I have no idea, man. Pierre McGuire, obviously.
And Alain Vigneault.
Really? How about that?
Yes. So those were Rick Bonus's.
Bonus.
Okay. You said you had.
I did. I had
Senators
trivia question on the heels of
and ladies and gentlemen, he's going to bust this out on me. So
Well, you're either going to smash it out of the park or you're not going to have it at all, right? To me, I don't think this is one where there's a middle ground.
Okay.
So J.G. Pageau on Saturday scores 4 fucking goals, prompting me to send a text message to you going, who's this fucking guy I think he is? One of them being the overtime winner or whatever. Before the overtime winner, Ian Mendez, I believe, of Ottawa Sports Radio has covered the Sens for a long time. Really bright guy. Like his coverage. There have been 4, including Saturday's, Senators playoff hat tricks.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go with right away J.G. Pageau
yep.
against the Montreal Canadiens yep. in 2012? 2013,
I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the rematch.
Yeah.
Prior to that, so the other two?
There's 2, yeah.
Nothing is coming to mind.
Okay. What if I were to tell you they were one guy? That there were four playoff hat tricks from two guys. Like,
okay, so the other guy is going to be... Was it, is it too obvious to say Alfredson?
Yeah, it's Alfredson. But the year is the interesting one to me. 98.
Oof.
Yeah,
really?
Washington and New Jersey. He had hat tricks in 98. I don't even remember them playing Washington. Now, I'm not a Sens guy.
That's a second round.
Right. That would have been the Joe Juno Caps, maybe? Or was Joe Juno already a senator by then? Maybe.
It's Callie Johansson,
Callie
for
Johansson,
sure.
Right.
And Ole Kolzig.
But to me, that's fascinating. Right? Well, it still would have been Gonchar, right? And that whole
yep.
Peter Bondra, maybe.
Yep.
Four playoff hat tricks in Senators history delivered by two guys. And it's J.G. Pageau and Daniel Alfredson. To me, that's, man, kind of interesting, right? That it shakes it like that.
And you know what the thing with Pageau is, or as Paul Romanek says, Pageau.
Leaf guy on Twitter going, are they doing the Pageau chant to Ole Ole? I'm like, oof, buddy. Yeah, keep up.
Well, and see, that started with...
Love you, David Alter, but that's like four years ago.
With the hat trick against the Habs.
Yeah.
So instead of the Ole, Ole, yeah. Ole, it's the Pageau, which I hate it.
I thought it's kind of lame. But
yeah, I totally hate it. As a Senators fan, you will never get... And I'm in a room...
At least I'm okay with it at... Against the Habs, you're kind of shoving it back up their ass a little bit. But now let it go against someone else.
But you hear it all the time. Right? And I knew it was coming. And so the person I'm watching the game with yesterday loves Pageau, right? And she said, wow, well, why are we not getting the Pageau chant at two goals, right?
Right.
And so clearly after the game tying goal.
Yeah.
You get the Pageau. And it honestly makes me want to barf.
Well, it just grates on you a little, right? Like it's...
Well, and I hate it because now, you know what? Ladies and gentlemen, a little insight, a little behind the curtains.
I'm gay.
That's Matt talking, just for the record.
I'll isolate that.
Yeah.
Save it for future use.
We are at... UFC, I don't know, what is that, when GSP came back?
Yeah, against Condit.
Yeah, so Matt and I are having this we were both at the event.
Yeah.
In Montreal, fantastic.
So fun. Loudest
building
I've ever been in.
Fantastic live event, dynamite.
Yeah.
But we had the conversation leading up to it going, okay, so when all the Frenchies start doing their ole, 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 are you going to get into it? Or are you going to boycott? And I'm like, fuck that. I'm not doing any ole, ole, ole. Matt's like, I think I may do it.
I think I'm too weak. And sure enough, we got there. I got swept up in the joie de vivre of it all.
Yeah, see, Matt's a,
I'm just hitting
Matt's
it,
a Euro wannabe, right? He fits into the soccer crowd, whatever's going on there.
How do you not get into the moment and just,
You know what? Just in an aside note, and ladies and gentlemen, please, you know.
Indulge
me here for 1 second. I'm watching. I was up late, got up early,
uh-oh,
had some fantastic morning.
Put your kids away from the street.
Had some fantastic morning sex. It was dynamite.
It's the name of his tea.
Yes.
Morning sex.
It's always better when somebody's sleeping. Watching a little EPL, English Premier League.
Yes.
Okay, so I got a coffee, I got a little Bailey's in there. You know, 50-50 blend is nice. And I'm watching, and it's at a time, and I'm not a soccer fan, and anybody who listens to the show knows probably neither one of us are.
Right. Boo.
They're at a time of year, though, when they're looking at relegation from the Premier League down to the First Division, right? And I'm wondering... As I move into a hockey world, or you can make it a baseball world, or an NFL world if there was a second such league, right? But in hockey terms, if you look at an AHL team...
You have to move down.
Right. If you look at your bottom five teams or whatever it is, who go, you suck so bad, Colorado, Vancouver, Arizona.
Yeah.
You have to drop down. You play next year in the AHL. Peoria... Whoever, you know,
Hershey.
You move up, Binghamton, up, Toronto.
Sure.
Right? Maple Leafs.
You're going down a year ago.
You move up into the top division.
Right.
What do you think of that?
Wow, the whole system would have to be.
Wow.
No, I. In principle, I don't hate it, but it's impossible right now.
I don't know what happens with drafts.
Yeah.
So I get it.
But
it's hard.
I don't mind it. I don't mind the idea that, hey, if you're going to be in the good league, you have to be good, right?
Like, you got
to
spend money, which would help your team,
yeah.
Right?
No, I think it's – I don't hate
transfers and all that kind of shit, right?
Because
you look at Leicester City.
Leicester. I don't know.
They won the EPL last year, and they were saying their win yesterday likely for them avoids relegation. 1 year later, you are flirting with the bottom.
I think my issue with it becomes just – and it's – in principle, I really like it. I think the problem that I have with it is just the way we're set up now. And I have a hard time getting my head wrapped around how we change it. But it's the fact that your major teams are in Chicago, are in Philadelphia, Los Angeles, whatever, Calgary, Montreal, Boston. And the smaller teams are in – like we said, Hershey or whatever, right? Iowa has a team. What do you do, right? What do you do with the fact that those teams will never contend financially? And that's the main reason I think it doesn't work here is the other problem becomes the NHL will never allow the New York Rangers, no matter how bad they are, as a moneymaker in terms of what they can sell in terms of tickets – and the price is there, your Montreals, your Torontos, to go down, right? Because it hurts the bottom line. And I think it's just the way we're set up in terms of market sizes and whatever that it doesn't
work. Absolutely looking at Pittsburgh Penguins. You are giving up fat transfer fees. You are already getting rid of Crosby and Malkin to Blackhawks,
yeah.
Leafs,
yeah.
Rangers, Flyers.
Yeah.
Right,
but yeah, to me, the Rangers and the Kings are all of a sudden
you look at the EPL already with Chelsea, Arsenal,
yep.
Manchester United.
Yep. Well, remember, it was only like 5 years ago that it was a huge deal that Man City even had a chance against Man U, right? Like,
well, but they were Johnny come lately.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
When I was over there in 14 years ago, right, it was everybody in Manchester is a Man City fan. All your casual, we don't know shit about, it's like being Leaf fans here, right?
Okay.
If you don't know shit, you're just going to glom onto the brand,
uh-huh.
Right? Whereas, so to me, soccer fans were Man City fans.
Yeah, okay.
And the generic, I want to cheer for what everybody else is doing.
You understand that for a very long time, Leaf fans were Man City, right? Like getting just shit kicked by everybody and anyway. It's an interesting debate.
Be a West Ham fan then.
Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah, that's it. Everton.
Yeah, love good stuff, man. What are you seeing out of round two? What's caught your interest so far? To me.
Man, to me, the East.
Yeah. The Pens have been dominated for large parts of games 1 and 2. And
you watch that.
Are up
you
to nothing.
Just. To me. And as you talk about it, right, as you move about, and you and I have talked about this before, I don't get the whole anti-Crosby thing.
Right.
Man, the generic hockey fan with their hate for Crosby.
Yeah.
What the fuck is your problem?
So last night, I get a call from my mom. And she's, you know, what are you thinking? The Leafs are out. Whose bandwagon are you on now? These sorts of things. Fair questions.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Probably root for Pittsburgh. I normally switch over and jump on Chicago, but that's obviously not going to happen.
I love Crosby.
And she just goes, well, I was talking to this friend of ours, and he says that Crosby's a whiner and a diver. And I'm like, that information comes from 2005, right? Like,
yeah.
Since then, guy has unquestionably been the best player in the world, won more than anyone else, scored more than anyone else.
And everything.
Right. I don't know what else you could possibly want from that guy.
Well,
right?
Like, okay, he comes into the league, and yes, you know, he's been shit and abuse he's taken for forever.
Yeah.
Terrible face-off guy.
Yes.
He's now one of the best drawmen in the league.
Yep.
He's blocking shots last night that lead to goals in tight games.
Yeah.
And you watch that pass. So he takes that shit pass in his skates. He kicks it up in amongst three Capitals, right? And yeah. Fuck you, Orlov. What are you doing, man, giving Crosby that much space just inside the blue line?
That's not a guy you back off on.
No, you step up on that guy with puck in skates.
Right.
And if you look bad, guess what? You go, okay, wait, it's Crosby.
It's
so what?
Fucking Crosby.
Okay, yeah. But if you obliterate him, awesome.
Yes.
No, instead you back off. No. You allow him to go, oh, I'm going to kick it up to my stick.
Thank you.
And you can see him looking around.
Yep.
You have half a second. He finds Kessel on the tape.
Yep.
Kessel just strolls in.
Thank you.
Hey, Holtby, what's going on there? Short side top.
As a Leaf guy, I have to point out 9 points in 7 games for Kessel again in the playoffs
this
year.
But
Did not get enough.
Okay,
Did not get enough.
But Kessel off the rush. As a Leaf guy, as a USA hockey guy, as a Penguin now, coming down the boards with speed.
Yeah.
Give him the puck in that much time.
Yeah.
Goal.
Again, not good enough for the U.S. World Cup team.
No, but you look at him. You look at him in the Olympics. You look at him. And
no, I know.
All those things. You know, and you go, well, we don't need a guy who can snipe.
Oh wait, we can't score.
Okay, and so, to me, you are looking at the two phases of Crosby at that point.
Right.
Skill play at speed.
Yep.
Right. Boom. In the skates, kick it up. Boom. Across the blue line. Three caps on him. Looks. Finds Kessel.
Well, and that's all you ever
hear. And then you go,
time
oh,
and space,
okay.
Time and space, time
this?
And space.
How
don't
about this?
Give it to him.
Shorthanded goal. I'm going to – he blocks the puck.
Hey, that all starts on one basic principle. He's killing fucking penalties, right? Like before you get to anything else, good enough to kill penalties.
And then the presence to – I'm still going to get up to one skate and I'm going to shovel it forward with my stick.
Yeah.
Not my glove, not anything else to get the assist on that.
Yeah.
He springs Bonino. And so to me, I don't get it. Anybody else who isn't just absolutely adoring what that guy does.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't know hockey. And I honestly, I don't have a lot of respect or time for your opinion.
So on the heels of that, I want to shift, and we'll do it this way, to the
Anaheim Edmonton.
Yeah. That. And McDavid has showed up now. And hard to say he didn't show up in the first round. Maybe the Sharks were just doing a better job on him. But if this is the conversation that it's McDavid versus Crosby for the best in the world right now, McDavid is now back into that conversation in the playoffs. But it's a very different type of game, right?
Before we head off to the McDavid talk to finish. Because I don't think we can touch on the Pittsburgh-Washington series without touching on Ovi.
Yeah, to me, after watching 6 games of him against Toronto, like to me, Toronto is Pittsburgh light, right? Like in terms of the depth, in terms of the talent, but you're doing it with all that experience
side. We touched on that in the preview, right?
Yeah.
Is that the way they're set up?
Yeah.
And if you can't beat you can't beat Pittsburgh without their starting goalie and their best D.
Right. This is your best shot, man.
This is it. You need to bring the shit.
But you know what?
You got dominated on home ice.
But he's one of those names that we brought up earlier that, and I know you think I'm only bringing this up as a Leaf guy, Connor Brown finishes with more even strength goals than Ovechkin this year. He is running out of gas. He's in his 30s now. He played that hard style. He's still killer on the power play. And if you give him some space at 5-on-5, he will murder you. But man, he's slowing down.
Yeah. And to me, I've lost my train of thought.
All right. No, he is still a killer shooter, but he doesn't do it at the same speed. He's not quite as physical. On the power play, he'll still bust your ass up. But, you know, it seems terrible to say at this point, but his best days are behind him already.
And you've missed both Olympic and Stanley Cup glory.
And this is it. We talked about it in the last round. This is their year. 11 RFA UFAs.
And
they're set up.
And Shattenkirk.
Yeah.
Is he this year's Vermette?
Oof. You know what? They're playing him with Orpik, which isn't doing him any favors.
That's the third pairing.
Yeah. And he's
if you have Shattenkirk and Orpik as your 5 and 6, to me you should be fucking making hay.
Yeah, but Orpik is just also out of gas and slow.
Okay, but I'm just saying, that's your 5-6.
Yep. But they can't keep up with, what Toronto threw at them, now what Pittsburgh's throwing
you
at them.
You look at that. Okay, that's what I'm saying. Okay, yeah. Let's just look at this. And to me, I went, man, Toronto's fucking dynamite.
Yeah.
Are they? Or is Washington exposable with speed? And we talked about
speed, for sure.
We talked about that.
Yeah.
That, and you said it, Toronto is Pittsburgh light.
Yeah.
And I said it in the preview show, man, Pittsburgh is the same, but with better finishers.
Yeah.
Speed. You look at 40-year-old Matt Cullen.
As your fourth line.
taking Shattenkirk on that shorthanded goal.
Yeah.
Right? He just beat Shattenkirk.
Yep.
Flat out. And they're going, actually, Cullen's from a deficit. And he still overtakes Shattenkirk with the puck.
Yeah.
Gets inside on him. And finishes that with that, well, honestly, a little bit of a knuckleball, but
yeah.
You've beaten the D. Well,
And I've been saying for a while now, since before the playoffs, I think the Leafs need to be very careful if they're going to be interested in Shattenkirk.
Well, because what you said was, early in the season,
yeah.
We need to load up and we need to go with Shattenkirk as a UFA.
Yeah, but for 2 years only.
No, but, okay, but
yeah.
That's what you said
yeah.
2 months ago or,
yep.
or more.
Yeah.
Then you've seen the playoffs.
And now he's been exposed, and I go, let's not even do that.
And yesterday by text, he said, let me reiterate, Leafs brass, do not sign the Shat.
The Shat, which is what I've been calling him for a while now, yeah. But no, it's interesting to me that, you know, if you were struggling to keep up with Matthews, Bozak, Kadri, you are dead. Against Crosby,
in
Malkin, Bonino, Cullen. Fuck you, man. You're done. And it's 2-0. And Washington has dominated large parts of the series.
Well, you look at that game yesterday, right? And I love this. I love the inside stuff, right? Where they showed the warm-ups and you look at that that high view and the pens are all swirling around. There's no goalie in the net and there's a Capital shoots the puck from center.
Fuck you.
Into the net, right? And Fleury's like, yeah, fuck you. And he takes it and he shoots the puck the other way. He's all pissed off.
Yeah.
The Caps come out and dominate and score and shoot 16, outshoot Pittsburgh 16-5.
Yeah.
In the first.
Have something like 35 attempts. Like, it's ridiculous.
And Fleury fucking stands on his head. Block shots, and Fleury just is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And you're like, see, you fuckers, man, you just.
Why are you firing them up before?
You can't do. You just. You don't know.
How many times have we seen that? Like, Washington is a very, even, I don't know what the percentage is. I think it's low, but Washington comes off as that very European, look at us team, and Pittsburgh's that kind of North American, okay, go fuck yourself.
I'm gonna grind you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna run you. I'm just waiting for my shift. This is it,
yeah.
Right? And Pittsburgh is just gonna fucking wear you down.
So as we move it out west and take a look at, more please.
Lift it up. I get it.
Yeah, well. And we take a look at what Edmonton and Anaheim are doing. I can't remember for sure, but I'm nearly positive I took Anaheim to take this series.
We both took Anaheim.
Yeah. And
it's 2-0.
It's 2-0 as we sit and record. Going back to Anaheim. Do I have that right? I do have that right.
Yeah. It's going to Edmonton.
Yeah. Is it? All right.
First two games were in Anaheim.
And you've taken them both. What are your thoughts on McDavid has clearly woken up. If you want to say he was asleep in the first round, I probably didn't. He didn't have the point total.
They had a clip the other night of him walking into game two. So getting off the bus.
Right.
And he's yawning. Oh.
I guess I'll get it going tonight.
And could he have been more electric, right? In terms of his, he had two or three from behind his own nets just galloping.
At speed, man.
And you watch him when he hits the neutral zone.
Yeah.
And to me, right, we've talked about it ad nauseum on this show.
Right.
Right. The beauty of that guy is how he carries the puck. And what he does with it at absolute top speed.
Yeah. Maybe best ever. Like, they talk about how fast. Like, lots of guys, he may not be the best ever player, right? That's a long way off from. But even Gretzky knew how to slow it down a little, right? And
right, well,
I gain the zone and I slow it up a little. I look. He's still fucking moving,
and
right?
So what they were talking about was the comparison to it in this scenario was Bobby Orr.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And somebody saying, oh, and Bobby Orr yawning in pregame speeches and yawning and whatever. And they're saying, you know, that's not a sign of disrespect or disinterest. They're saying what that is elite athletes,
right?
Nervous, taking in oxygen.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of things going on there, right?
Yeah.
Where you are doing your best to fight against your system to get as much oxygen into your system
right.
as possible. And then you look at it, bam, buddy explodes.
Right. No, and
Cam Talbot, though, big difference in game two, man.
Yeah. So do you think at this point, because they always say you're not in trouble until you lose at home, you've lost twice at home, and you're, oh, fuck, we're in trouble. They say right now odds are Vegas has the Oilers to win the cup.
Man, I find that to be...
Well, if you get by the Ducks, you're looking at the Blues and Preds.
Well, I think you've already said, you've already gone on record in the pregame here saying... I have the Preds to win this series, and I have the Preds beating the Ducks.
I do.
Okay.
I don't know if I love the Preds against Oilers matchup as much, but I'll stay with it.
And you know what? The experts. Who are the fucking experts?
You and me, Matt.
Okay. Then we don't have that. the hockey news and hockeynhl.com,
right.
All 21 of their writers, see – 17 out of 21 had the Bruins beating the Senators.
Yeah.
21 out of 21 have the Rangers beating the Senators.
Yeah.
Fuck the experts. Right, is all I'm saying is,
yeah.
You know what? Watch. Are you watching?
Right.
Who are these fucking people?
Right.
Watch. And to me, Cam Talbot with his 54 minutes of playoff hockey prior to this year, right? To me, the Edmonton D, right, and the way they play.
To me, and we've talked about it, Klefbom to me has been the surprise.
Kozak tweeted out, you see that after our preview show? And he's saying, yeah, both Larson and Klefbom are in that chunky.
I saw that.
6-15.
Yeah, and you,
no.
The Oilers do not have two defensemen in the top 15 in the league. That's not true.
Dino, love you, buddy. Not the case.
Right. But Klefbom has been better than I thought he was. Larson, to me, I still, I don't love that trade for them. But,
I love that trade for them.
Okay.
For them and the signing of Russell.
I keep meaning to go back and pull your actual comments on that trade when it happened.
What were they?
Yeah, well, we're going to see. I'll pull it.
Do you have them?
No, I haven't gone back and done it yet. But I know you did not love that trade either at the time.
Well, to me, I didn't hate it as much as you did.
That's true. Klefbom to me has been the surprise.
To me, I'm firmly in the camp of you got to give to get.
Yeah, sure. That's true.
It's a lot like oral sex, ladies and gentlemen.
Klefbom. We are talking about Klefbom.
Data vegetarian, tongues straight in the hoop.
All kinds of advice. Helping you pick your winners and helping you.
Yeah, you know what? Live a happier life, my friend,
right?
If you're going to stick your tongue in someone's ass.
Date a vegetarian. Don't be a vegetarian.
No, this is it. This is it.
Best
of both worlds. You don't care about their tongue in your ass.
Nashville, St. Louis. Have you watched a single second?
I've watched the majority of both games.
I have not watched almost any of either.
Well,
as we talked about before the round,
Nashville,
the second round,
Nashville is absolutely the better game.
St. Louis is somehow the least interesting series.
Well,
in two rounds in a row.
And to me, they just—if Gibson does not stand on his head, they don't stand a chance. Man,
you mean Allen?
Gibson. Sorry, Gibson in Anaheim.
Yeah,
Allen in St. Louis. Yeah, to me, that D is scary.
Yeah,
right in Nashville.
Well, we talked, you know, earlier about
if you can have Ekholm and Subban on your second pair.
Thank you.
You're killing it, man.
Right,
you're killing it. And
they're doing enough up front. Rinna is playing well enough
I'm watching game one especially, right? And you're watching that power play, and they're throwing the puck around with Johansson and Forsberg and Ellis. And Yossi
Arvidsson
and you're like, oh wait, Subban's not even
he's not
on
even here.
He's not even on this unit.
Yeah. When you should have seen and people may up have in arms, one, Kelly Rudy calling him a 3-4 defenseman.
Yeah, in Nashville?
Well, right? Okay, yeah. And so, and how rare is it that Nick Kyprios is the voice of reason and sanity?
Yeah.
You're
after
like,
being
whoa.
Sandy McCarthy or whatever it was, Jim Vandermeer to the ice.
Yes. yeah, well.
One of them.
We went through this early. And Vandenbush, that's what it was.
Yeah. Yes, you're right. He's now with his soft baby, soft spot head.
You are the voice of reason.
Yeah.
Subban is a top 2D on
any
28
team
teams.
Oh. Who are the two that he's not?
I don't think you're playing him in the top pair in Ottawa.
You don't think him and Carlson is a pretty enticing?
That's like two pineapples playing together, right? Yeah.
Okay. And no. San Jose or L.A.? Where's the other?
How about Nashville?
Okay. So you're willing to play him with Doughty and Burns, just not with Carlson. Oh, your bias is showing.
No, it's not showing. I'm willing to entertain that. Same thing applies.
To me, you put
them together.
How about
25 other teams?
Yeah, okay.
You put Subban and Carlson together?
Yeah.
That's a shit show waiting to happen.
Both ends.
No, this is what I'm saying is yeah.
I know what you're saying. I know it's going to be
but no,
chaos.
I agree, right?
Yeah.
Yossi, I'm taking Doughty over Yossi.
Yeah, me too.
So to me, my bias is not showing. I'm just saying if I'm taking Subban over Yossi maybe.
So, I took Nashville in this series. I think you took
I also took Nashville.
Yeah. So, that's in good shape. As we sit here, although that game probably is over on a Sunday afternoon as we sit and record this, but as it stood, Nashville was firmly in control. Final stop as we head around the second round, New York and Ottawa. I took Sens in seven, you took Rangers in seven.
I took Rangers in seven.
Yeah.
And it's been close. As we record this, well, all eight Senators games have been decided by one goal.
Yeah. It has been every bit as close as we expected it would be. I didn't expect another fucking four goal output from JG Pago.
Okay, but before we get into this, to me, interesting stats to look at. If you go back to the Pittsburgh Capitals, and we'll just hit on this quickly. I don't want to
hit it.
Best home ice team in the NHL this year, Pittsburgh Penguins. Right, the best home ice record. So if you can go into Washington. And take two.
Hello.
And then ride.
Welcome.
And then ride back home. Best road team in the NHL this year? Any guesses?
I'm assuming it's going to be the Rangers.
New York Rangers.
Okay.
Best road team. So obviously the best 100-point team.
Yeah.
With the worst home record. New York Rangers. Right. Phew. Oh wait, Craig Anderson, 8-1 lifetime at MSG.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Phew, man. That's going to be a problem.
Hello. We take a split?
Yeah.
We.
Yeah. 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 Guy who bet against them.
Yeah. No? Ottawa takes a sweep. I mean, takes a split.
Yeah. Easy there.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that's interesting to me coming
stats,
out of that game,
those
too.
Those stats are interesting as you project forward in both those series. As I...
clink, clink, clink.
All these empty beer cans sitting here. Going, what the fuck? Who does the housekeeping in here?
These are all from today. It's you.
Okay, so
why not?
I'm loving the sports talk.
Why is it that no one in Ottawa wants to go watch this team?
Okay, well.
Second round, two games in, still no sellouts. And sometimes substantially down from a sellout.
Game one, so every game has been sold out except for game one.
No.
Of the second round.
Nope.
Yes.
Nope.
Yes.
Game two was not sold out, man. I'm telling you.
Game two was sold out.
It was not.
Okay.
You all can feel free to look that up. It was not. Carry on now with your slanted homerism.
Well, I got... clearly, if I'm going at a deficit, I got nothing.
What? Okay. Let's cut it here in the middle. Why has it been a struggle to sell it out? Would you give me that? Because if game two was sold out, it wasn't sold out 3 hours beforehand.
To me, I have no idea.
So have game, you gone?
No.
And, why?
Okay, so here's the deal. Game one, I'm listening to the day of game one. I'm listening to local radio.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, not sold out.
Right.
I'm on Ticketmaster.
Right.
And if you want to go even further than this, as somebody who works for the municipal government, right, I've just got my bargain for last year and a half union negotiated upgrade. I've got an extra $1,000 on right, my paycheck.
I'm ready to go.
I'm on Ticketmaster.
Yep.
And I'm looking at all these tickets. To me, there's a bunch of tickets, but I don't get this certified for resale.
Yeah, people turning them back into Ticketmaster and then jacking the price way the fuck up.
This is it. This is it. And so for me, it's just there's a bunch of things, and I've touched on some of them in a very vague way. I have to pay a variety of people a fee to
enjoy my friendship,
my freedom. There's just a bunch of things. And I thought to myself, fuck, you know what? I could do it. I could do it, but I'm just not going to do
it. So don't you think there's a lot of people saying that? Like, I guess.
Are there a bunch of people paying multiple lawyers?
No, probably not. But I mean, are there a lot of people in Ottawa that go, I could afford it, but I'm not going to? Like, why? Like,
to me, this has to
be unique in Canada, right?
Okay, well, to me, this has never been an issue before.
Right. No. Ever. No, that's right.
Ever.
Right. That's why I'm asking the question. If Ottawa was always a shitty, like as soon as the prices go up, they just go, nope, not going. It's not what happens here.
You know what? And to me, none of the excuses, including my own, are legitimate, right? I could have got bare bones tickets, $100 a piece.
Right.
To sit in the last row.
Yeah.
Up high. Now, Ottawa is still the second cheapest ticket available in the second round.
Who's the Nashville?
Anaheim.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So there is no legitimate complaint still.
Right.
Right. We are still – they've jacked the prices three times from regular season.
Yeah.
Right. But we are still the seventh, yeah, you know, most expensive.
What's interesting because you talk like Nashville apparently can charge more. St. Louis can charge more. Washington can charge more
I want to preface the whole thing with there is no viable excuse. There is no legitimate excuse. To me, to go from $10 for parking to $30 for parking.
Yeah. Fuck you.
For me, you were in the far, far west. And I can't compare it for any of you people out there living in a bunch of cities. We're going to get a new arena here in the next 3-4 years.
Right.
Maybe five.
Downtown.
That will be downtown, right? That's already started to be. That is where we are right now. You are in the far west.
Honestly, it's like driving from one town to another. For those of you in Toronto, it's almost Hamilton. Like it's almost Pickering, right? Like
you're way out.
Yeah.
Right, and there's no bars.
No,
there's nothing out there. You are going to it's like Landover, Maryland. It's like
yeah.
Where you show up and there's just the arena.
Right.
There's
and a field.
There's a bar in the arena.
It's great for the NFL. You show up and tailgate and whatever, but it doesn't work so.
But
good
you don't
for
do that.
Game
and so again,
yeah, yeah.
This hasn't it hasn't been an issue, but I think we're at a point now where. I think Ottawa fans are slightly disgruntled with ownership here.
Yeah.
I think we wish that the owner would shut his trap.
That's a good call.
Right? Who would stop talking about hockey matters.
Just pay the bills, man.
Just own the team, man, and let management run the team.
Right.
Here in Ottawa, and again, I reiterate, there is no reasonable excuse.
Yeah.
Okay? When you look at, Leaf Square, whatever that is.
Yep.
Right where.
Or Jurassic Park when it's for the
Raptors. There's thousands of people there wearing their blue jersey.
And they're doing it in Pittsburgh. They have the screens up and the Red Mile in Calgary. And
fuck it. And look at what they're doing in Edmonton.
Yeah.
Right,
selling.
Where people are paying to stand in the concourse and watch the game on the fucking
fire code?
80 bucks.
Yeah, I can't believe
to stand in the concourse and watch the game.
But man,
they are so starved for hockey. Now, Ottawa, since we made it in 97, they have not gone more than 2 years without making it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So making the playoffs is not a fucking, it's not a new thing here.
Right.
Right? And so we're waiting for people to show us.
Well, as we shift this conversation into the hockey side. Yeah, okay.
When you compare that now to 3 years now, the Red Blacks have been back in town.
Yeah.
Okay, and so they are in a stadium right downtown.
Gorgeous on a weeknight.
That has been redeveloped whatever. And in the immediate vicinity.
Restaurants,
hey, man, you show
bars.
Up, there's pubs. Bars,
oh, so
restaurants.
Nice, man. You sit out and watch the game, the river on the other side.
And the, right, honestly, you know. The canal is right yeah. there.
It's so, it's a gorgeous
and
spot.
You, and to, you show up pregame and there's pubs and there's yeah. all kinds of shit
stuff
for adults
on.
To do all over the place.
Yeah.
Right. You go over to halftime and you and there's a huge vibe post game.
Yeah.
People in Ottawa have went, okay, this is what it can be.
This is how it's supposed to look.
This is how it can be. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, or I could go all the way out there
right.
and sit and do nothing.
Yeah. Get on, watch the game, and then get on a bus for another half hour to come home or sit in a parking lot for 90 minutes waiting to get out onto the highway again. You know what? As someone who I don't give a shit about the Senators, but I've spent enough time out there watching games, and especially when the Leafs come to town or whatever, it's just a different vibe. And it's tough to get excited. It's tough to. To get things too amped up. I want to shift things over to the hockey side of it because so far it has been a hell of a series. Close. What's interesting to me, and I want to get your take on this, and obviously Henrik Lundqvist has a different reputation, a better reputation, and deservedly so over the course of their careers, than Craig Anderson. But the talk... A lot of the time was, and you referenced it earlier before we went on air, was why is, you know, oh, it's going to take 5 goals on Henrik Lundqvist and go, they've already pumped 5 on, you know, it's going to take 5 on Craig Anderson. Why is that not an accomplishment? And it's just a different class of goaltender. It's a different, but while you're making that big of a deal out of having to get 5 on this guy, then you also have to be prepared to admit that it means they're going to get 5 on yours. And that doesn't seem to be getting as much attention to me, right? And the goaltending battle, to me, there's a lot of talk about Henrik Lundqvist and very little about Craig Anderson, whether it be positive or negative, don't you think?
Well, and Andy, honestly, he's been a top 10 goalie the last couple of years in Ottawa. Now, is he a top 5? No.
Right.
I don't, you know, but to me, is he firmly in that 5 to 6 to 15?
With Klefbom and Larson?
Don't even.
I know. His problem is consistency. When he's on, holy fuck.
Yeah. Anderson is not the goalie Lundqvist is.
No.
So to me, that's not a...
I'm not the one making it. The broadcast is the one sitting there going, hey, you're going to have to get 5 on Lundqvist. Yeah. You go, yeah, well.
Romy.
You're going to get fucking 5. I like Romanuk, too.
You know what? I liked Romanuk as a TSN junior guy.
Sure.
I don't like him. He brings his Leaf bullshit with him.
Could you find a single Leaf reference in that fucking game?
No, you can't. But who did the Leaf broadcast this year?
Yeah.
Who?
Paul Romanuk, yeah.
Yeah, I'll get him. Paul Romanuk. That's it. That's all it is.
Yeah.
You bring that Harry Neal,
Bob Cole.
No.
Well,
no,
then
no,
shut up. You got upgraded this year.
And really, Romanuk, he's just full of cliches.
Yeah, a little bit.
Did you get that, though, in the Leaf broadcast? Yeah. Yeah, so.
It's Greg Millen, to me, is the problem in those broadcasts. And
and he's gone now. He and Bob Cole have moved over to. Although I was loving Gary Gallies yesterday. Yeah, well, it doesn't really bother them. They've blown it under the rug.
What?
Yes.
Hello.
Exactly. They blow it off or they swept it under the rug, which is a Gary.
What are we doing here, man?
I'm going to combine the both.
And go and blow someone under the rug, I guess. Let's not isolate that.
But to me,
Would you?
If I'm Anderson, I'm leaving that game yesterday. And if anybody gives me that question of five goals, yeah. I'm wanting to say fuck you. What?
Well, that's always the thing.
That guy over there is allowed six. Did I allow five and win the game?
Right. Give up five and lose, problem. Give up five and win, hey, fuck.
Okay,
whatever.
And we've all listened. We've all watched a hockey broadcast, right? Where you're down 5-3 and your goalie makes a save.
Well, it was not down 3-1, down 4-2, and down 5-3.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
Okay, but and so there's this where, and I can't remember who the Ranger was, who comes in the left side, and it's a great shot, and Andy sticks out the glove, and he makes a save.
Oh, I think that was the Zuccarello play. I think.
And you go, okay, Andy, bend, don't break.
Right.
At 5-3, you go, is that the save that gives his team a chance? And you know what? I don't know that, right?
But right.
When you come back and win 6-5, right, and when you score three consecutive goals.
Yeah. Looks pretty important.
And that's the thing, right, that your color guy usually provides.
Yes.
Right. Now, I didn't get that yesterday, but I did get that via you by text.
Right.
So for you guys out there, I'm doing yard work. I'm cleaning the barbecue, the grills. Come on, it's prime time, right? So I'm outside. It's a beautiful day here yesterday. So I have the game on PVR. Because, who wants to be inside on a sunny...
Right. I'll get to it. I was hungover, so...
I got it on PVR, and so I didn't start watching it until maybe quarter after four.
Right. Right. 3 o'clock start, wasn't it?
It's 3 o'clock start.
Yeah.
And so I'm watching this.
Take your time.
Yeah.
I'm about to tell you kids. I'm a spinning yarn.
That's exactly right. I'm going to share this with you, how it went. Anyways, shit went bad. Oh. To be honest with you, it was your team gets three power play opportunities in the first period. Hey, not only do you not get a shot on goal, you allow two shorthanded goals.
Yeah.
Shit's gone bad. Through two periods, your power play, while not surrendering a goal, has allowed two separate goals within 5 seconds after the expiration of your penalty kill.
Oh, we're bleeding here.
So there's four goals right there, and you go, fuck, could we play worse?
Right.
And it wasn't. It was like a Chinese fire drill. It was horrible, man. I don't think the Senators could have played worse through two periods. It was.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Anybody watching it, you would go, your power plays, you're forcing passes into areas, and we've all watched teams where you go, what the fuck are you doing?
There's three guys standing there. What are you trying to feed that?
See, right? Exactly. I'm going to make it. I don't know. You can't do it, but I can do this.
Right.
No, you can't.
Oh, thanks, Leo Komarov. That's a turnover.
You cannot do that.
Right.
There's a guy in another colored jersey waiting for the puck. Oh, I'm going to drop this puck back. Yeah. Jason Spezza says that's good. No,
oh, I'm not
man.
Him.
That is not good. That guy's not wearing the same jersey as me.
Right.
And they were feasting on us, man. And that is...
Yeah, I watched the full game. Yeah.
That's Vigneault.
Yep.
And our power play, only going 1-for-4, generated a pile of opportunities in game one. And Vigneault's smart enough, right? Game changes... Game planning from one game to another in the playoffs, and that's where money's made.
Right.
Right? Is how do you act and react to the flow of play?
Yeah.
And Vigneault, man, he's got over 200 games in the playoffs, right? He is.
Yeah. Responsible for a riot in Vancouver in 2011.
God bless you.
You people. Based
Bus
on the
is
results,
getting overturned and
based
burned.
On the results of the draft lottery, you people should burn your city to the ground again.
Start in New Westminster because, man, it looks like it's already halfway there.
We just spent a little time there. It's not gorgeous.
Man, oh, man, oh, man. Hey, what is this street? This is 8th. What's that street? That's 8th.
It's the nexus of the universe.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Oh, that's 8th Avenue and that's 8th Street.
People think you're Manhattan here in suburban
exactly.
Vancouver.
It's garbage.
Garbage.
So to me, when your specialty teams, when you win the battle that decisively, which New York did,
yeah,
right. Ottawa to me dominated 5-on-5 play.
Yeah. Well, And but when you get the breaks that you did and you have the chances that you did and you have Lundqvist in net, it's got to be over. You have to take that on the road as a playoff team and finish that down, right? Like, that has to be – because you go on and you have Pajot get a hat trick in regulation and score the winner. And I'm sitting there, I'm watching him break in overtime.
The winner was gold, too. Yeah. That wasn't cheap.
No. I think the overtime one might have been a little cheap. Like, good shot, but Lundqvist, what are you doing? Get the glove up, man.
Right? Okay,
like,
forget about the overtime winner. How about the first goal Pajot scored?
No,
Breaks down the right side and scored short side? I'm like, how the fuck does that make it in? Well, ever?
Because the person I'm watching the game with and I are both going, what are you doing? Like, why would you possibly?
It's like he's moved off the post.
Waiting for the pass, but the pass is gone. Like, the defense has done an okay job of taking that away, and he just lobbed it in the fucking short side. And you go, oof, man.
And he gives it a good.
No, I know, but.
I know, but he fires side. It at the and short side on the.
Yeah.
I love that one. How the fuck does that get in?
Right. Yeah.
And so to me at this point, Lundqvist, you played stellar in game one.
Right.
But you are responsible for that game winner.
Yeah.
And you have let six in game two. Phew. Man, you better fucking win four straight.
Seems unlikely, doesn't it?
To me, it seems very unlikely with the stats we've already quoted. Right?
They always say, as we mentioned in previous shows, you're not in trouble till you lose at home. The Rangers are in trouble.
Man,
the Rangers are in trouble.
To me, Caps, unlike the West, right, which both series, you know.
Yep.
Now, the Ducks are in trouble.
Yep.
But to me, in the East, the two teams that are up 2-0, it plays directly into their strengths.
Yeah.
Right? Pens, best team at home.
Right.
They have the best home record.
Yep.
And you are now going home 2-0. The Rangers, best road team in the playoffs.
You didn't get it done.
And you didn't get it done. And you were going home to a mediocre road record to face an Ottawa team who's 8-4-1 in their past 13. And Anderson, who is 8-1,
pretty
I think.
Good in your building.
In your building. This is a Senators team that has great confidence in your building.
Yeah.
And you didn't get shit done in your strength on the road.
Yeah.
And you know what? Kreider and Stepan both scored. Who hadn't scored, and they're like, woof, everything is going for the Rangers tonight. Guys who haven't been scoring have scored. Oh, fuck, man, now you're down 2-0.
Brady Shea been the best Ranger? Man. Like, for a guy that no one's ever heard of?
Brady Skage?
He's been good. He's been good for me. Like, in his own end, offensively.
Two goals yesterday and a couple big hits.
You hear a lot about Girardi and Stahl and McDonough.
That's why they have a top 3D in the league.
For sure. But that's the guy that most people don't know a ton about. Man,
we talked about him here.
Yep. He's been good.
Talking sports.
That's why you come here for your shit.
Shit.
Anything else on that series before we wind this one down?
Well, to me, it's wow, no.
Looking like Penn sense pretty much. I mean, anything can happen.
And you and I talk, anything can happen, right? And we are only two games into both series.
Yep.
But 2-0 at this time of year, when you make it into the second round and you are playing against goaltenders who are...
Well, look around. Like, look at the goalies that are left. Like, Fleury got a cup. Anderson, been very, very good. Holtby as a Vezina winner.
Hey, now how about
that?
Now
you got Lundqvist, great Rene, Allen.
But you look at Holtby.
Gibson,
right?
To me, and Talbot are the – and they're going head-to-head.
Okay.
So
Gibson, Allen, Talbot. To me, the Western goalies, Rene is the class, traditionally, of those goalies, right? To me, the East has the better caliber goalies.
For sure.
Right? When you look at Murray and Fleury, okay, whichever one you want to pick, both have won a cup.
I'm going to pick the one who's – healthy enough to play.
Okay, but I'm just saying, you look at that.
Both have cups, yes.
Holtby, who's had better records in the past 3 years than Holtby? Nobody.
Right. Well, Vezina winner and a ridiculously high playoff save percentage.
Nobody has amassed a better record than that.
Right.
Right. Then you look at Lundqvist. I don't know if Olympic gold, conference final, NHL Stanley Cup final. Yeah.
He's got a Vezina, I think, or two to his
name. Right, and just in terms of the caliber of goaltending, Anderson is the fourth best in terms of credentials.
Yeah, and he's been pretty fucking good.
And, man, you look at him yesterday, he bent and didn't break.
Well, and as a guy, like I said, who
in the grand,
cares
in
not.
The, in the Grand Fear style.
Who cares not for the Senators. I said, like I said, I'm sitting here watching the game. I said to someone, I said, anyone want to help him? Like, that's probably early in the second. Oh, like, he's the only fucking guy who showed
fucking,
up at that
he
point.
He was fucking dynamite.
Right. So you just go, man, it's gotten exciting, right? So
and so to me, I look at what's happening in the East. That's it. And we've always talked about, and we've mentioned it on the show.
Yeah.
It's called hockey, but you could very easily call this in the playoffs, it's goaltending.
Yeah.
Right? And now there's some hot guys in the West.
Man, there's some
that
hot.
Guy is hot. Let's put him on a calendar.
Yeah.
But to me, the proven guys and the better goaltending is in the East.
Looks that way. Looks
and,
that way, man.
And you know what? Fuck all you Western fans. With West is best. West is best. Doesn't matter if it's the NBA or the NHL. West is best.
Really? Yeah.
Suck it. I don't buy it.
Sick it.
Who won last year?
Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh won.
That's it.
Yeah.
I don't care about the whole bunch of years before that.
I'm all about recent history.
This is it.
What's happening right now? What's trending? That is Tall Can Sports.
Boom.
A long one. That's all you should expect here is long ones. See you down the road.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.